Can you kind of summarize what you saw there?
For physical activity, again, we looked at 6 months after the completion of adjuvant therapy, and we created a metric called metabolic equivalent task, which is a pretty common metric used in physical activity studies. And it's basically a measure of energy expenditure that people do for various activities. So the questionnaire asked about 9 different activities, walking, jogging, biking, and other aerobic activities, and both if people did them and how often and how many minutes or days per week they engaged in them. And what we then create is categories of multiples of 3 med hours per week. So sitting still for an hour gets you 1 med hour. Walking at a 2 to 3 mile per hour pace, if you do that for 1 whole hour a week, that's all you do in terms of leisure time activity, you get 3 med hours per week, and then there are multiples thereafter. And so we created categories of where the reference range was less than 3 med hours per week. And what we found is compared to those people in the reference range, less than 3 med hours per week, colon cancer survivors who were at least 18 med hours per week of exercise had about a 50% reduction in disease recurrence or mortality, or a 50% improvement in disease-free survival.
How much exercise would that be?
So the equivalent of that in terms of walking is if you walk at a pace of 2 to 3 miles per hour for 1 hour, 6 times a week, so 6 total hours, gets you to 18. Now, there are ways to do it more efficiently or in less time. For example, if you jog or run, jogging gives you 7 med hours. If you do 1 hour of jogging, if you run, then it's 10 med hours. So there's ways to get to that a little faster than walking at a 2 to 3 mile hour pace. And most people on the study did some combination of exercise. So most people don't just do one single aerobic activity where you kind of add up the different leisure time activities.
So, you know, when you think about 6 walks of an hour each a week, that doesn't seem, you know, that difficult, is it?
You know, the hard part obviously is time for some people. That is the recommendation for the Healthy 2020 guidelines. That amount of activity per week is actually the recommendation. And you're right, it's not a very fast walking pace. So if one walks faster, you could do it in less time. The other thing, what's not fully known, is how much you can break up activity. So let's say you walk at that pace. Can you do a half an hour in the morning, half an hour activity? Most exercise physiologists think that's probably sufficient to break it up into half an hour or even 20-minute slots once or twice a day.
I guess there are a number of potential caveats of looking at these data. Can you kind of talk about the potential pitfalls?
Right. So the drawback, obviously, is this is observational. And we don't randomize patients between one level of physical activity or another. And one argument could be that, well, obviously the people who are healthier are able to exercise more. We do our best to try to exclude the potential or the bias of people who are getting sicker are going to be able to exercise less. And the way we do that is we don't count events that happen in the first 3 months in the primary analyses. And we even extend that restriction to 6 and 12 months after the measurement for people who had either a recurrence or mortality are restricted out of the analyses. And we still see a consistent result there. The other caveat is the measurement we used was 6 months after the completion of adjuvant therapy. So if you didn't make it to 6 months after the completion of adjuvant therapy, you're not included in the analysis. So those are people who dropped out of the study for other reasons, the main treatment trial. Obviously, people who recurred or people who died 14 months after their surgery, they're not included in these analyses.
When you think about these findings, what would you speculate in terms of the potential biologic explanations?
One explanation for various energy balance factors affecting both colon cancer risk and potentially recurrences is that things like obesity, lack of physical activity will increase one's insulin levels and insulin-like growth factors, both of which have been shown to be mitogens for tumor development, metastases, and angiogenesis. And so if one avoids obesity or increases level of physical activity, one may be decreasing those levels. And in the case of cancer recurrences, if one thinks that cancer recurrences are micrometastatic disease that then grows and eventually metastasizes and develops a blood supply, inhibiting those factors may prevent those events from occurring.
What about the dietary findings?